Amen, Cindy. God bless you. And I agree with you completely. That is exactly what we have been focusing on through Every Believer a Witness. Well, let me invite you, brothers and sisters, if you haven't already, to find today's sermon guide. You should have one that looks just like mine, and at the top it says Week 4, Defeating Fear. And if you don't have a sermon guide, if you'll just slip up your hand, we have one for you. We have one for everybody. No need to share, no need to look on. We have one for you. And you can go ahead and you can get, Brother Robert, I think still some on this row here. Go ahead and take your sermon guide along with your pen. Let me remind you again, today is week 4. And in week 1, we talked about destroying apathy. And why it is that we as followers of Christ are not as faithful as we can be, as we should be in sharing the gospel. And we were reminded about the reality of hell. Not from my words, but from the words of the Lord Jesus. And then 2 weeks ago, we were looking at Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 26. And we also were reminded who we were before Jesus. Who we were before we met the Lord. And then last Sunday, we took the example of Paul, Paul's model, our life before we met Christ, how we met Christ, and our life since we've met Christ. And we actually took a few moments in our Sunday morning worship service in a very unique way and wrote out our testimony. And I challenged you last Sunday to, before today, to read your testimony. Don't ad lib, don't go into any explanation, but simply to read your testimony. And you could have blamed it on me. I need to do a favor. My pastor's asked me to do this. And I know that so many of you did that this past week, and I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear your testimony again this morning, but I want to hear who you shared with and how it went.
Well, I was able to share on Tuesday or Wednesday, I can't remember, but as some of y'all know, we're building a house, and we have a lot of people at our house right now, well, building it. And so I prayed, Lord, Monday, I said, Lord, give me an opportunity to share and read my testimony with whoever you want me to read it to. Well, it so happens, the next day I go outside, and the trim guys are there trimming out our house, and they're all taking a break under our porch. I said, oh, y'all wait right here. I'll be right back. And then I said, I'm not bringing you any snacks, but I have something better. So I ran to the trailer, and I got my testimony, and I read it to him, and I said, our pastor has asked us to read this to you. And so I read my testimony, and I got finished, and one of the trim guys said, can we have a break like that every day?
Thank you. God bless you, Jeanette. Someone else. Just tell us who you read it to, and maybe what their initial response was. Someone else. Anyone? I can be picked. Ann Braswell. Thank you, ma'am.
Stand up. Okay. I prayed that the Lord would help me, and so I got on my golf cart, and I rode around the block, and there wasn't nobody out. And so I said, okay, I'll go around a second time. And the second time I went around, one of the men down at the far end that I haven't met yet was out, and he came over, and I said, I see you're building a new dock. So he came over to where I was and talked to me, and I said, our pastor has asked me to, I said, we're studying about sharing our testimony, and my pastor's asked me to read this to two people this week. Would you listen while I read it? And he said, sure. And so I read it to him, and he said, well, now I know more about you. So I really enjoyed that, and then I was able to also, another lady was coming out of her house when I went by, and I've been trying to invite her to church. So I stopped and stopped her, and I said, can I visit with you for a moment? And she said, sure. And she's been having some real bad medical conditions, and so we sat and visited, and then finally I said, can I read my testimony to you? Our pastor wants to read it to two people, and I've still got one to do. And she said, sure. And so she listened, and I read it to her.
Now, I need to hear from one brother. Any men, any brothers, share their testimony, read their testimony. Robbie Clifton, all right.
I was helping a lady clean up her yard, was hauling off a bunch of scrap metal and trash and stuff. And I asked her if she might listen to me. My pastor wanted me to witness to different people. And I said, I'd like for you to listen to my testimony. And she stood there and listened. And I said, thank you very much. And she said, I'm proud of you.
Amen. God bless you, Robbie. And brothers and sisters, I just didn't challenge you to do that. That was a challenge for me as well. And so this last Tuesday, while I was at the gym, I finished. Before I changed clothes, three people there gathered in the gym that I know and that I see. One of them I know for certain, not a follower of Christ. Now, I couldn't use your line of my pastor wanted me to, but I did say to them, we're doing this in our church right now. Would you mind if I read my testimony to you? Of course not. And so I had my testimony printed out on paper, read it from beginning to end, said thank you, and then I went and changed clothes. And that's all there was to it from my end. But God using my testimony and the gospel within my testimony is at work in the lives of those individuals. Well, it's awesome to hear. I know that there are plenty of others who maybe didn't stand up and share this morning, but you did what we asked you to do last week. But today, we want to address this topic that so oftentimes keeps us from doing what the Lord wants us to do, and it is this issue of fear. How can you and I defeat fear? And so if you'll turn to page 2 in your sermon guide. Another word for fear is the word phobia. You know that word. Phobia, a persistent, abnormal, or illogical fear of a specific thing or situation. Phobias are often to the extreme. They're fear on steroids, if you will. And there is a whole host of phobias, some of which you know about, some of which you don't. Let me remind you of a few this morning. Ophidophobia. Ophidophobia. It is the fear of snakes. Anybody in the room suffer from ophidophobia? I am of the opinion, this is my opinion, doesn't have to be your opinion. I'm of the opinion that the only good snake is a dead snake. And the reason that I am of that opinion, 6 or 7 years ago, on a hot, sweltering July night in South Arkansas, I go out on my front porch to turn off the sprinklers. And providentially, because I didn't do this every time, providentially, I just happened to take a flashlight with me to scan the yard, what I thought out of curiosity. And I see these beady little eyes coming toward, ever so slowly, the porch. And over the next 30 minutes or so, and I want to be truthful about what I'm about to tell you, as I stood on the porch, spotlighting, my father-in-law killed 8 copperheads in a 25-foot radius. Ophidophobia. The phobia of snakes. Aviophobia. Maybe some of you suffer from aviophobia, and you'll recognize this after I say it, but it is the fear of flying or fears related to aviation. Some of you may trying to settle in on the plane. The captain says, we're about ready for takeoff, and you clamp down on those armrests. Or maybe you don't even get that far. You won't even get on a plane. Phylacrophobia. Now, I do not suffer from phylacrophobia. It's the fear of going bald. The fear of going bald. I don't suffer from that. I actually shave my head and embrace that baldness. There's no fear of baldness in my life. Some of you men this morning, pantherophobia, fear of mother-in-law. That's for real. You can look that up. Pantherophobia. Glossophobia, fear of speaking in public. Some of you, glossophobia, you weren't going to let me come to you with a microphone just a moment ago. Well, today we are talking about witnessophobia, the fear of being a witness for Christ. How do we overcome fear in witnessing? Now, please understand what I just said. I didn't say how to never be afraid. Being afraid is a normal, natural response. But this morning, we're talking about how can you overcome? How can you defeat fear when it is present in your life, specifically as it relates to witnessing? Look there on page 2 and number 1. Understand that fear is normal. Fear is normal. It's my pleasure to be the pastor of Emory Baptist Church. But just like you, unfortunately, there are plenty of times in my life when the Lord is leading me to share the gospel, and I'm afraid. I am full of fear. I'm intimidated. I am anxious. How do I overcome that? By understanding that it's normal. God's word is full of individuals who were fearful in their lives. Genesis chapter 3, Adam said unto the Lord, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. You know that story. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 20 and chapter 12, was fearful of losing his wife, of having his wife taken from him. And so what did he do? He lied about their relationship, saying that Sarah was his sister rather than his wife, because he was afraid. Moses, in Exodus chapter 2, he was afraid, and rightfully so, after he killed an Egyptian. Who saw? Who knew about it? What was going to be the consequence for his action? Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, so afraid of Jezebel. Do you know the story? So afraid of Jezebel that he ran for his life. Peter. We know Peter. Peter in Matthew chapter 26 was so afraid of being associated with the Lord Jesus and what that might mean for him that he denied the Lord. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then the Apostle Paul, the writer of over half of the New Testament. I want you to read aloud with me from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this aloud together. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I desired to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Did you see that? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He wrote it also in his second letter to the Corinthian church. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Read this aloud with me. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. The greatest missionary, the greatest pastor, some would say, the Apostle Paul, fearful in sharing the gospel, in presenting the truth about Christ. Understand that fear, brothers and sisters, is normal. It is normal and natural for us to be afraid. Look there at the top of page 3. Number 2. Ask friends to pray for you. Ask friends to pray for you. Now we do that with everything else under the sun, don't we? Would you pray for my health? I have a doctor's visit coming up, and he's going to be sharing with me some test results. Would you pray for my kids right now? They are just not doing well in school, and their teams aren't working out so well, and after-school activities aren't going well. Would you pray for my kids? Would you pray for our financial situation? We need another source of income. We're just not able to make ends meet. I've got a job this next week. I've got a job interview. Would you pray for me for my interview? We ask friends to pray for everything under the sun. And can I encourage you, when it comes to sharing the gospel, for being a witness for Christ, that you tap into that resource that we have that's called the body of Christ and ask friends to pray for you. That's what Paul did. Paul did that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Read this aloud with me. "And pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So Paul told the Corinthian church, "I'm afraid." But then he's asking the Ephesian church to pray for him, and specifically to pray what? For boldness, brothers and sisters. And so when you go to a friend, when you go to a brother or sister in Christ, what you can ask them to pray for you is boldness in sharing the gospel. Number three, they're in the middle of page three. Expect to face opposition. When it comes to sharing the gospel, it would be wise and prudent on our part if we expected to face opposition. One of the greatest advantages in sharing your testimony of how you met Christ, what was your life like before Christ, how you met Christ, how it is your life like since Christ, one of the greatest advantages is that people have a hard time arguing with personal experience. But I'm not saying that no one will. They don't often argue with your personal experience. Why? Because it's your personal experience. Now, we want to make sure that our personal experience is based on Scripture, but it's hard to argue with someone's personal experience, but inevitably, some do. And so I would encourage you to expect to face opposition. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 20. Read this aloud with me. "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." That's what Jesus said. That's what our Lord and Savior said. If they're going to persecute him, then inevitably they will persecute us. Turn the page. There at the top of page four and number four. Focus on your rewards. Rewards, that's right, rewards. Focus on your rewards. Both eternal rewards and earthly rewards. Here's what Paul said about eternal rewards in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. Read aloud with me. "He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor." Brothers and sisters, that's you. That's us. We are the ones who plant. We are the ones who water. And we are the ones who will receive our eternal wages in being a laborer in the harvest. But not just eternal rewards. Paul speaks about earthly rewards in Philemon chapter 6. Read this with me aloud. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Paul says, don't miss this. Paul says that when you share the gospel, you come to a greater knowledge of Jesus. Did you catch that? I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So when we share the gospel, brothers and sisters, when we're obedient to share the gospel, we know more and more of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that is an earthly reward for witnessing. Number five, forsake the win them mentality. Forsake the win them mentality. Now, I know what individuals mean when they say this, but let's remember to keep this in the proper perspective. Perhaps you've heard someone in the past say, I've won some souls today. And I know what they mean when they say that, and I commend them for what they mean when they say that. But brothers and sisters, you and I have to understand that only God can save. That is, only He can do the saving. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read this. You don't have to read it aloud with me, but follow along. Paul said, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Only God can save, brothers and sisters. You can share the most eloquent, charismatic, biblically based gospel presentation that a lost person has ever heard, and if God's not at work in their life, they're not going to be saved. If you and I, brothers and sisters, trust Him to do His job and be concerned about what our job is, it will transform your attitude and perspective of witnessing. His job is to save. Our job is to share. And you know what I've noticed? The more times I share, the more times He saves. Isn't that interesting? The more I share, the more He saves. That's His plan. I want you to listen to Matthew chapter 13. Now, this is not in your sermon guide, but it is a parable often called the parable of the sower. You probably are familiar with it. But listen to what Jesus said. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about Him so that He got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as He sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. In the parable of the sower in the first century, the sower would have a satchel or a pouch of seed that was draped over his shoulder and in some type of container. And in broadcast form, he would take out a handful of that seed and he would just in broadcast form throw it. He couldn't get into his John Deere. He couldn't get into his Kubota. It was just throwing out the seed. And do you notice what Jesus doesn't say here? He doesn't say, oh, for those first three types of soil, the sower should have done a better job. That's not what he says. He doesn't say the sower should have paid more attention to where he was sowing. Nope, that's not what he says. He says that depending upon the individual and God being at work in their heart, that will determine whether or not they're saved. Brothers and sisters, only God can save. And so let's you and I forsake this win them mentality and trust God to save them. Turn to page 5. Number 6. Don't forget that you have good news. Don't forget that you have good news. And that's what the word gospel literally means. Good news. And the good news, brothers and sisters, just in case we have forgotten it, the good news is that Jesus Christ died on our cross for the sins of the world. And he was buried, but he didn't stay buried. He was raised on the third day. And being raised on the third day confirmed everything that he had said and everything that he had done. And he invites anyone and everyone to be forgiven of their sins, to have a home in heaven, to forsake an old way of living by trusting in him as Savior and Lord. That's the good news. The good news of the gospel. We read in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, about the good news. This is the Christmas story. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Brothers and sisters, it is wonderful news when we get a new car. It is wonderful news when we take a certain trip. But it does not compare to the message of the gospel. Can you just imagine for a moment? Can you just imagine if the Lord whispered in your ear, "I'm going to give you the cure for cancer"? Everybody in the room has been adversely affected, either personally or someone that you know, by cancer. And if God whispered the cure for cancer in your ear, no one would be able to stop you from sharing that with every person you knew that had cancer. And brothers and sisters, the gospel is infinitely better. But in truth, lost people do have a cancer It's a spiritual cancer that we've all had at one time or another, and it's called sin. But the good news of the gospel is the cure for that spiritual cancer. No one is so bad. No one can sin too much. The good news is good news for every person. And then finally, there at the bottom of page 5, finally, remember it is an obedience issue. Finally, remember it's an obedience issue. Read with me John chapter 20 and verse 21, and let's read it aloud together. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Jesus is sending us, brothers and sisters. He's not just sending the pastors. He's not just sending the deacons. He's not just sending the outgoing personalities. He's sending you if you are a follower of Christ. But so many times, unfortunately, we say things like, either verbally or with our actions, "Well, I'll do it when I feel like it." Or, "I'll do it when I want to." Moms and dads, what would happen if your child said to you after you said to them, "Go clean up your room"? "I'll do it when I feel like it." If that were to happen at my house, that would not be a pretty picture. And yet, so many times, again, either verbally or with our actions, when the Lord Jesus says to us, "Share the gospel with that person, share your story with that person," we say, "When I feel like it." It's an obedience issue, brothers and sisters. And so then turn to our last page, page 6. So what now? Based on what we have just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? There printed in your sermon guide, as it has been every Sunday, is James chapter 1, verse 22. Read it aloud with me. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you today to make the decision to defeat your fears. Make the decision. I can't make it for you, or else I would. But make the decision to defeat or overcome your fears. Again, not deciding that you won't be afraid. Afraid is a natural response. Fear is a natural response. But making the decision to defeat your fears. And then let's read this last verse together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Read it aloud with me. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but sharing in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." God has not given you a spirit of fear, brothers and sisters. That's what the devil wants of you. That's what the devil wants of us. And so knowing that it's God's will, and with God's help, starting right now, I want to invite you to not let fear keep you from witnessing. And if that's a commitment you're going to make this morning, I'm going to invite you to sign your name and date it on this third day of October 2021. A commitment that you make unto the Lord. that you are going to do your part in overcoming fear. And here's what you can do this next week to help overcome fear. The bottom of there, page 6, pray every day, God, I want my friends to know Jesus the way I do. Help me defeat the fear I feel when I think about talking to them about Jesus. And then maybe you didn't do it last week, but I invite you again to do it this week. Read your testimony that should contain the gospel with two other people. Coworker, friend. Yesterday, I was in a basketball gym in Lindale all day. Shocker. And my oldest daughter, who is so gracious and merciful, always to either run the clock or keep the books for my team while we're playing. And this particular game, she was running the clock. Well, somebody from the other team was taking care of the books. And so she shared her testimony during the game with the person keeping the books. Brothers and sisters, God puts people in our path all the time. Friends, family, co-workers, classmates, teammates. And let us be bold in sharing our Jesus with them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And if you have made that commitment this morning between you and the Lord, I'm going to invite you to be standing and singing with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength unto the Lord, and letting Him confirm in you the commitment that you are making unto Him. Maybe you are here this morning and for the first time you have heard the gospel, and you are ready to answer that call to salvation. You're ready to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. No one is too bad. No one can sin so much that God can't save them. As we're standing and singing this morning, I'll be here at the front. Whether adult or teenager or child, today, if you would answer that call to salvation for the very first time, we would invite you to step out in one of these aisles. Come here to the front. Let us celebrate your decision to pray with you, counsel with you, welcome you to the family of faith. If you're a guest with us this morning, and God is leading you to be a part of Emory Baptist Church, a church that wants to be faithful to share the gospel in our community and in our county and wherever God takes us, and you know Christ as Savior and you've been baptized after salvation and by immersion, we would welcome you this morning. Maybe you just simply need to come here and pray at the front. God has put someone on your heart that you know is lost, and He wants to use you and your story in sharing the gospel with them. And maybe just as an act of commitment, you want to come this morning, kneeling and praying by yourself. Our invitation will be for you. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for your goodness in our lives. We're most grateful that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and in our place. Father in heaven, would you be at work in our midst and during this time of invitation? Let us say to you this morning, yes, Lord, whatever you ask, however you direct, yes. Lord, we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and I'm here at the front, I'm going to invite you today to respond publicly to our invitation.